wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get our reading today from the book of Jeremiah. We are reading chapter 7, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. Although I'll cover the lot of verses in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Let's read. It reads as follows. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who came through the gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your action, and I will let you live in this gate. Do not trust in despicable words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your action and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreign, the fatherless, and the widows, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own arm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in dispensable words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and treachery, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name, and say, we are safe to do all these distempting things? Has this house which bears my name became an Eden of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declare the Lord. Amen. As we all know that we are speaking on behalf of Jeremiah, in this section, God sends Jeremiah to the temple gates to confront the false belief that says, God will not let harm come to those who are in the temple and those who live near the temple. Now, this was the myth, or this was what the people had believed on, that if they are in the temple or near the temple, God will not allow them to have harm, or God will protect them from everything. And let me repeat it again, it's a myth, because when you work with God, you need to understand that to God is not about where you are, it's about who you are in you. It's not about where you are, it's about who you are. Jeremiah stands at the temple gates and proclaims the message of repentance and judgment. What is amazing when I read this story, God sends Jeremiah to proclaim this message at the gates of the temple, where you are supposed to go and proclaim the message, maybe in the streets, maybe open air, or maybe in the shebeens where the unbelievers are, or maybe in the asteroids worships where people are. But God made him to stand. He said, go in the temple, stand in the gates of the temple and tell these people. When you read the book of Jeremiah, they nearly killed him for that. For standing in the temple was, I think to them, the temple was a hiding place. Why did God instruct Jeremiah to prophesy and proclaim the effort and then the effort will be fruitless? Why did God allow, when you read the book of Jeremiah from the first verse to the last verse, the people, they didn't believe Jeremiah. That means the prophecy was there, but people couldn't believe the prophecy. Now, the big question is, how did God allow him to prophesy, whereas people are not going to repent? Two things that I think God wanted to do. God demonstrated his consistency. God said, in the midst of, and even if you don't repent, the word of God will be preached. It's not about you repenting. The word of God will be preached, and the word of God will want you. It's not about we preach the word of God for fame, or we preach the word of God for it's about God to change people's hearts. But people that they can come in and out of the church and their hearts are not being changed by God. Because they don't open up their hearts for God to change them. Now the reason why the word was proclaimed in them and people are not repenting, even if people are not repenting, is because God wanted to be consistent with his will. Wanted to do what he always do. He wanted to reprimand. He wanted to remind people. He wanted them to know that he's still God. And not blaming him that we didn't hear your word. He bring the prophecy, whereas he knows that they're not going to listen to him. But it was not job of Jeremiah to change their hearts. It was their job to open God to change their hearts. Secondly, God was going on record for those beyond Jeremiah's generation. Another reason is what God wanted these things to be recorded for those beyond Jeremiah's too. That means for us. The reason why this was done, it was for us. We wanted this to be recorded, like now they are recorded. We are preaching on them. We wanted these things to be recorded, not only for those people there, but for those beyond Jeremiah. So that means us. The word of God is for us, not the Israel that we are going to go to Babylon. It still speaks sense in our situation even today. That's why this word was written. It was for us. God doesn't do things by mistake. You can read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. He emphasized that all these things were done for us, for this generation. God doesn't do things because he wants to do them. He do things because he's got future in his mind. If I would make a verse or take a verse out of this that I want to highlight everything on, it's between verse 3 and verse 4. Reform your ways and action. I will let you live in this place. That's what he started when you read in verse 3. He said, reform your ways and action. I will let you live in this place. That means, reform your ways when you are coming to the temple. When you come to the temple, understand that you are coming to God. Reform the ways. If you read from verse 2 to verse 3, people followed a worship ritual, but maintain a sinful lifestyle. If you read between verse 2 and verse 3, the people there, they will go to Baal, do everything, but they run to the church, where the temple, where they know that now they are safe, they are in the hands of God. But they still worship Baal. And then when they finish everything that they are doing, they come quickly. I think to them, the temple was a hiding place. And that's what it is in these days. The temple is a hiding place. They came, they didn't have a commitment to God. They just come to church because if you read from verse 11, where I'll put my emphasis on verse 7 to verse 11, there are parables too between how people of Judah viewed the temple and how many today viewed the church. I just want to make a parable between how people of Judah then and us today are we viewing the church. What is the church in our eyes? And then what was the church in their eyes then? They didn't make the temple part of their daily living. Whereas we said before, they would go from going to Baal, from doing everything that they wanted to, and then come and hide in the gate. We said that's the reason why Jeremiah prophesies in the gate of the church. Now, they didn't view God as something that part of their life, or they didn't make God to be their lifestyle. Whereby in most cases, I always think that the temple to them was a place whereby they will feel comfortable that, okay, we did come to worship, and then they go on and do their own things. Because God is God of mercy, God will heal them, God will heal their land. But they are not concentrating on God. They are just concentrating on coming to the temple. And as if they are doing the right thing in their eyes. Because they come to the temple, but their lifestyle still says, we don't belong within the temple. In most cases, that's what is happening today. They don't make the temple today, it's a place where people, they just come to the church for the sake of coming to the church, not for the sake of belonging to God. I always think that the church is a place of worship, where we worship God, where our belonging is, where we are, where we know that this is our place of worship, and not only remain in the church, even out of the walls of the church, we still worship God. We don't leave the worship in the church. I think this is a mistake that these people, they were doing then. And it's still happening even today, whereby we come to God, we are clean, we've been washed ourselves, even our language changed when we are coming to church. But when we leave out during the week, we are no longer the people that are. How sometimes people, they wish that we can sit here in the church the rest of our lives, in order we cannot change our character. Because our characters, we are not in the church, are not the same. And then at the end of the day, we're turning ourselves Christians. We come in church only once. We don't even come to Bible study. We only come once a week on Sunday, and then we go home. Only that once a week, that will make us to be Christians. And we think that we are going to heaven after that. Don't you think that's a hiding place? Like the people of truth, what they were doing there. Just not the lifestyle. And in my mind, I think that to come to church, of course, be a lifestyle. They didn't make the temple a part of their daily living. Those people there, they will come and said, they will come to church and go and worship God and do their things, whatever they want to do. They serve their gods there. They do whatever they want to do. They don't know, they don't take God serious. I think that's why Jeremiah was supposed to come in the temple, not preaching on the street, because the problem was no longer in the street, was inside in the temple. No, even today the problem is not in the street. You can see how temples we have in these days, how many churches we have in these days. And then you see how our world is going down every day, but we've got a lot of churches. That means this is opposite. We're supposed to have good, as many churches as we have. We're supposed to have good people because there are a lot of churches. But it's said that when we go to church, we don't come out doing church. We only go to church on Sunday. And other days we are not going to church. They didn't make the temple part of their daily living. We go to beautiful churches, well prepared for worship, but often we don't even take a presence of God with us through the week. We go to church, what a nice worship that we have in church. What a preaching, nice preaching that we have. We don't even take one word. That says, I'm a child, just to know that you're the child. Only one way, during the week, we go all over, we don't even know. We'll only remind ourselves on Saturday evening that, by the way, tomorrow is Sunday. And then I need to go to church, and we change everything, even change the language. I mean, when we are praying, our language changes, because we are coming to church. How I wish our language can be the same language, even our voices can be the same voice that we have when you're out of the church and in the church. There are times when sometimes you don't wish to see us out of the church. Because our being Christian is made by the buildings, not by the one who is inside us. The image of the temple became more important than the substance of faith. So these people, the image to see the building and the things that are in the building, they became more important, more than having the substance of faith. What are you believing on? Why do you come to church? How do you pray to God? How is your relationship with your God? I think that's supposed to matter to these people. Even to remember that God took them from Egypt and put them there when they are. They are supposed to be praising God for what he has done for them. But unfortunately, they're only looking in the church building and think that's the best thing that they ever had. I think that's why Jeremiah stands in front of this church and preaches like this. Look at this nice building. Pastor Ruben says, if you're going to be a member of this church will be this nice building. You'll be part of this nice building. How about being part of Christ inside you before being part of the building? These people, they only see the nice building, excited about coming to church on Sunday. But when you look at them, their life didn't change. I always think that they're abusing the grace of God. The image of going to church in these days, sense of belonging to a specific group. For today, when you come to church, you want to belong to the specific group. Those people, they drive nice cars. Those people are blessed by God. Those people have got nice language. And whenever you don't change, you just want to belong in those people. It's not about belonging to the group of people. It's about belonging in Christ. And Christ alone. That's how our life finds, we find our life. If we find our life in God, not in the buildings of the church, not in the church. Take a picture of the church where we've got a church where all people there give themselves to God. They are children of God. They embrace everything that God is saying. The Holy Spirit is working with them. And look at that picture of that church. You can have a good church. We cannot suffer with anything because the Holy Spirit is there. But unfortunately, in most cases, we'll worship the building more than worship God, or being entertained or feel very much comfortable about the groups that are joining in the church. I've joined that group of Bethany. By the way, that church is in the center of town. By the way, this and this is happening in the church. How about God inside you? Image of the church, want to belong, more important than a life change that God is making in our lives. Our life has not been changed, but we're excited that we belong in that part of church. People use their temple as sanctuary. Many of us today, we use religion as affiliation and hide out. Then, they use the temple as their sanctuary. Today, we use our temples. Today, our main focus is a religious affiliation. I go to that church because I'm a Baptist. I go to that church for their faith mission. I go to that church because they are doing things like this. How about going to the church because there's Christ inside you? I always emphasize the point that in order to be a good Christian, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. And Pastor Ruben stand there and show that money. Another example of that money. When he showed the kids that money, in between that money, you cannot see if you are not in the light. You not see if you are not there. You only see when you put it in the light. That there's another Nelson Mandela there. How I wish in our lives, when we are standing in the light in our communities, where we are standing, not in the church, in our communities where we are standing, in the place of work where we are working, in our families, the people that we spend days and days with, in our marriages. Where we are spending time, but when they put us in the sunlight, they can see Christ in us. Even if they can see nothing when they put us in the court, when they put us in the sunlight, they can see that there is a man inside us. Not about coming to sanctuary, not about coming to church, making ourselves better than other people because we are coming to church. How about having somebody inside us? When our wives and our kids, when our people that are working with at a place of work, they can see when we are in the light, see that there's somebody inside us. Sometimes I always say, it's useless to tell people that you are saved, you've got Jesus inside you. How about proclaim it? How play it out? How about allow people to see it in you? Not speaking about it sometimes. Allow people to see Christ in you. Not to see your church and the Baptist. That is not important. The only thing that is important, there's a Christ inside me. And then if there's Christ inside me, I belong to the Baptist. But you need to have a Christ inside you. When you put Christ inside you, it's so amazing. A lot of us have got Christ inside us. But end the day, our life are not changing. Our characters are still the same characters. When we came here in this church, we still go back with the same character. How the character changing? Most of Christians, they don't want to change their characters. We live with the old life. But when Jesus comes in our lives, there's supposed to be change in the way we behave, in the way we think, in how we do things, because there's something inside us. There's no sanctuary that you stand from a distance and say, I go to that church. But there's Christ inside us. Even if people they don't see, because there's suffering that you are going through. But when you are putting in the light, people they can see that there's Christ inside. To go on to verse 19. This verse answers the question, who gets hurt when you turn away from God? Who gets hurt when you turn away? When you don't want them to accept Jesus as your Savior, who gets hurt? Brothers and sisters, God is there. He was in the cross. He died for us. He's in the right hand of the Father. You are going to get hurt if there's no Christ inside you. The only person who gets hurt is us. We will find out to go up and down trying to solve the problem that God was supposed to solve a long time ago. Who gets hurt? We get hurt because we don't mind God. We only mind the church. Who gets hurt? When things are not happening, we go around asking people to do favors for us. But there's only one man. We died after him in the cross. A And that person will only come to the sanctuary, even hiding every problem that we have. When the people ask for prayer item, don't even bring the our problem, because you are it. The only thing that can help us is when we allow Christ, not only the sanctuary, not only the church building, not only the sense of belonging, not the place to come and worship only, but we have somebody that we are worshiping in our hearts. Not the place that we give. Sometimes we give in the church as if we are buying God. I always believe that giving is a very good thing. But remember, gold and silver is for God. Giving is a very good thing. It's a pure thing. It's a good thing. But it doesn't make God, not us to own God. The only thing that you, it's better when you give and then there's Christ inside you. Even your giving will go a long way. Because there's Christ inside you. By closing, in chapter 8, verse 20, Jeremiah closed the chapter 8 by the rhetorical question. Is there any Baal in Gilead? When he's closing, in verse 8, he's talking about what cases are going to follow, what punishment of things are going to happen. But if you go to verse 22, at the end of chapter 8, Jeremiah closes by the rhetorical question. Is there any Baal in Gilead? The obvious answer is, yes, what is? God is the one who can heal us. When he's speaking about Baal, he's speaking about the medicine not used to heal people. They're now, he's asking, is there any medicine that can heal us in the situation that we're sitting in? Go on saying that, yes, God is. But Israel was not applying the Baal that they have. They know God, they have God. They walk with him, he walked with their fathers. They see him working in their life, but they still don't want to walk with him. It's like us today. When you walk in the streets, and everything, we still say, I know God lives, but is he inside you? Is there anything are you doing about God is living? Or are you coming to the church for the sake of coming to the church? God could heal our spiritual sicknesses. God is able to heal our spiritual sicknesses. In Book of Luke chapter 9, verse 35, the voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son who I have chosen. Listen to him. The Bible says, when the disciples were there with him, the voice came from there and they said, this is my son. That means we have a bar. There's someone who can hear us. And the voice came from the cloud and say, this is the person. And he goes down and says, listen to him. That means our minds and our hearts, they must be willing to listen to God. Even if he doesn't say favorable things in us, but the main thing is, can we listen to God? He knows the way. The Bible says, before you are formed in your mother's womb, God knows you. That means he knows your way. He's got everything under control. The only thing is, can you listen to him? In closing, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. We have a great priest. We have a great priest. Even people, they can say we are suffering anything, but remember, we have a great priest. The Bible said, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. That means, let's hold on what we profess. Let's hold on the person that we know that is our Redeemer. Let's hold on the person that we know that can take another mind with us. The person that can hold our hands and open. We've got a high priest. Our priest was tempted every way, just as we are, yet he didn't see. The temptations that were walking through, they were there in our priest. And for us, because Christ died for us, because our sickness is on him, everything that we have. Now, the Bible says, our priest was tempted as well. But the Bible says to me, let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence. Let us be confident that there's someone who died for us. Let's walk tall and know that our sins are forgiven. Let's walk tall and know that even if you come to the temple, but there's Christ in us. We not only come to the temple, but we come to the owner of the temple. We come to the master, the priest, the high priest. Father, we thank you. So, Manda, we praise you. Father, we glorify your name. Thank you, Father, for being our priest. Thank you, Father, for dying for us. When you see that we're still sinners, and Father, we've tried our best to think that you could be better people in life. But thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Praise you, Father, that you remind us That let's not make the temple the place where we think that our lives are going to be changed. Let's make the temple the place where we came with you inside us. Thank you for everything that you are going to do. Thank you for the week ahead. The God in us embrace us. We give all the glory and all the honor. We thank you. Amen.